Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers Nation? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Today, of course, one of our main topics we're going to be discussing is Jordan Love's injury and how that's going to affect the team moving forward. We're also going to be breaking down everything that happened at day 14 of Packers training camp. I'm excited to jump into all of that. But before we get there, just want to quick take a moment to let you know that today's show is presented by Luigi's Frozen Pizzas. Listen, one of the best things that you guys can do, I get asked this all the time, like, how can we support the show? There's a variety of different ways, Pack-A-Day memberships, just liking, subscribing, giving those five-star reviews. There's so many different things that you can potentially do, but one of the absolute best ways to support our show is by supporting our sponsors. And what an awesome way to support us is by supporting Luigi's Pizza. You go out, you buy a frozen pizza, you get to enjoy a unbelievably delicious pizza, and it helps support them. It helps support us. And with our sponsors, we really treat them like family. It's an unbelievable partnership and cannot thank Luigi's enough for sponsoring us. So do us a favor and support them as well. Luigi'sPizza.com, LuigiesPizza, and make sure to follow them on social media at Luigi's Pizza as well. All right. As mentioned, the big news of the day, Jordan Love. Let's just jump into that, and then we'll get into everything surrounding day 14 of Packers practice. Jordan Love sustained a torn ligament in his thumb. Thankfully, his left thumb, not his right thumb. As I talked about on social media and on the live show yesterday, if you said Jordan Love torn ligament surgery, it's about as bad of a combination of words as you can possibly get. If I said that it happened to his thumb, we got a 50-50 chance on this thing. And if it's his right thumb, we're probably talking some real problems. If it's his left thumb, you're able to get through it. And thankfully, by the grace of all things Vince Lombardi, it was his left thumb. And he is going to be able to recover from this relatively quick, by all accounts. I know Pro Football Doc on social media talked about something similar. Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst in their press conference talked about it as well. This is a injury that recovers very quickly, and which is just crazy for any sort of ligament, for any sort of surgery whatsoever, to have an injury that you can return from in about a week is just mind-blowing, right? And certainly not a doctor and don't know the ins and outs and what sort of things that he's going to have to do to kind of work around that moving forward. But it's a left thumb injury, had surgery on Tuesday. And now the question is just going to be, how quickly can he return? And the initial timeline is that no missed regular season games. He'll be back for week one and could be back as early as next week. Matt LaFleur did all but rule him out for the rest of the preseason, meaning he's not going to play in any preseason games. But there is some potential and some hope that he could be back for practice as soon as next week. Clearly, it goes without saying that you do not want to lose Jordan Love for any period of time whatsoever. Missing him for even a handful of practices is noteworthy. That's your number one quarterback, and everything surrounding that is affected. He's your leader. He's your QB. He's calling the plays. He's, you're basing practice, especially on the offensive side of the ball, around him. And even on the defensive side of the ball, you don't get the best of the best going against you in practice because their quarterback, or in this case, your franchise quarterback is out. Now that's definitely going to change the calculus of just about everything. I'll say one more time, all things considered, from a surgery standpoint, is about as best case scenarios you can get. Also, even the timing of it, you would always probably want it sooner and things like that, but the timing isn't terrible. And the reason that I say that is, let's just say he's back by like next Wednesday. It is a week, and next Wednesday he's already back there with the team doing stuff, or at least Thursday in the joint practices, right? If that is in fact the case, he missed Tuesday, yesterday, with not being able to practice on Tuesday. There is no practice Wednesday. Thursday's the joint practice. That'll be the second one that he misses. Friday, I think there's going to be like a light walkthrough or anything that's not really a miss. Saturday's preseason game, he was not going to play in anyway. Sunday's an off day. My guess is there might be a light practice on Monday. I'm not even positive that that's the case. It's not scheduled right now, but it could just be one that's open to the media. That could be number three. And then Tuesday is a training camp day. Wednesday, there's not a scheduled practice either. If there is open to the media, that hopefully is maybe the one that he can return by. We could be talking about four missed practices, maybe even three if there's nothing scheduled for next Monday. You know, if that is in fact the case, he picked about the best week of camp to potentially miss when he was not going to play in this training camp or in this preseason game anyway. Now, he would miss the final preseason game, a couple series there. That would be my guess, which is what they were scheduling to play him. Could have even just been like last year where he threw three passes and that was it too. And it really probably doesn't affect anything all that much by him not playing in that final preseason game. So the timing of it is overall relatively well. If, and this is still a pretty major if, he's able to come back next week at some point, even if it's not next week, right? Let's just say it takes, you know, going into a little bit of that, you know, after it, you're still looking at potentially 2 weeks before, you know, that first regular season game. And that should still be plenty of time to get him back reintegrated in the offense. It's not like he is going to forget anything or anything like that, and still find that timing and rhythm well before you have that Lions game. It's certainly noteworthy that your first two games of the season are against Detroit and against Washington, two extremely tough opponents. And Washington is right after on Thursday Night Football in week two. You have two massive games right away to start the season, and you want Jordan as healthy as possible, and you want him in the offense, you know, trying to click on all cylinders as best as possible. And any time missed can affect that. But if this is really just he's back next Wednesday or Thursday, it is a very loud injury update, meaning that it you know, immediately gets all this attention, understandably so, rightfully so, but is probably mostly much ado about nothing if he's back by next week. The second thing that I'll add, this, so number one is just when he returns, how long does that take and how much time does he actually miss? And is there any rust going into week one because of that? It looks like, thankfully, that is not going to be the case and he should be back by next week. Number two, does it affect him as a quarterback at all? Clearly, it's on his non-throwing hand. So there's only a couple real ways that this could potentially affect him. The first is under center. Hand on top, hand on bottom, taking the snap under center. Your thumbs are very much in play as the center is aggressively snapping that ball back to you to get you, make sure it gets in your hands and you're taking it and going from there, right? That can have a lot of pressure and bend on that thumb. If that's something that they would be worried about, that it could cause re-injury or whatever the case may be, it might be something, and I want to be very clear, you could not have less of an expert on this entire, you know, injury situation. I'm not a doctor, right? I'm not speculating or saying that this is ultimately going to be the case. I'm just saying if it is, and he can't go under center, that takes away your full under center game away, maybe makes it so you have to do a lot more shotgun and pistol stuff rather than him actually being under center. Now, the good news here is on the day, so he was injured in the preseason game on the final play where he took the sack, jammed the thumb on a helmet. He practiced on Monday. That was open to the media. And I very specifically recall him taking a snap under center when they were going play action on a three tight end set. I remember it very vividly. So I do know that he took, you know, snaps under center, even when it was hurt prior to the surgery, no recovery time, right? Like immediately. That would hopefully tell me that if he can do that following the surgery, you would think he'd be able to do it again, but that's going to be the other thing to keep an eye on here. You do not want this to get to the point where it, you know, you can't do anything under center because Jordan's thumb is affected by it. We don't know yet. We have no idea if there's going to have to be any changes in place. The other would be handoffs. In practice on Monday, where you would normally hand off, you know, going to his right where he would hand off with his left hand, he had to hand it off with his right hand instead. We've seen quarterbacks do that before with injured thumbs and injured hands, but that would be the other thing. That I'm less worried about. That's not any major issue. You could have a little bit more slight risk for a potential fumbled exchange, but you usually practice that pretty well. And sometimes, honestly, you almost are more focused on it because you're doing it differently and almost making sure you're getting the ball in there. And again, that would be far less concerning than if all of a sudden under center was no longer available to you because of the thumb injury. So I'll just recap one more time. The two things that you're looking for here is, when does Jordan get back? Hopefully sooner rather than later. And hopefully there's no, where this goes 2 or 3 weeks all of a sudden, where it's really pushing up close to the Lions and the Commanders games. And you just don't want any sort of rust or lack of rhythm or continuity or anything like that. And again, the second thing is, does it affect him under center? And if so, what type of adjustments do you need to make off of that? Overall, thankfully, for the most part, crisis avoided here, right? Again, when we talk about surgery for your quarterback and a thumb injury, this could have been so much worse. And I mean, so much worse. And thankfully, it sounds like he's going to be back sooner rather than later. And hopefully this all ends up being just a forgotten piece of the 2025 season, and Jordan's going to be good to go sooner rather than later. One other injury of note for a new injury, Israel Abanaconda, the running back, was out with a hamstring injury. We're going to get to some other potential injuries that happened throughout practice as well. But going into day 14, it was Jordan Love and Israel Abanaconda who were new additions to that injury list. Your did not practice list included Zane Anderson, Xavier McKinney, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Nate Hobbs, Isaiah Dunn, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, John Williams, and Jaylen White. You had four players, and actually some good news. There's actually some good news on the injury front. You had four players that not only, returned to full team, at least team activities. I think there was probably some limitations on them, but they were doing actual team, not just walkthroughs, but actual real live practice reps, right? Those four players were Rashid Walker, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, and Kamal Haddon. So great to see all four of those players actually out there practicing in team drills. Meanwhile, two of those injured players, Isaiah Dunn and Jaylen White, were waived with an injury designation, so they are no longer on the team. I will just add really quick, when you hear that, waived injured, it probably doesn't really mean anything. You're like, all right, well, Jaylen White, Isaiah Dunn no longer on the team. That's all I need to kind of worry, or there's nothing I need to worry about or think about when it comes to that. The bummer part, when you take players, and this is not meant to be disrespectful to Jaylen White or Isaiah Dunn, I feel for them as they're trying to make a team that they get these injuries. It's just that when you're a fringe roster guy or back of the roster guy and you're fighting tooth and nail to try to make a team and you have any sort of injury, it's just such a devastating blow. It's so hard to get to that point just to get a chance, maybe fight for a practice squad, and having an injury flare up and really annihilate any of those chances has just got to be a brutal blow. And for all the work that those guys put in. So I very clearly feel for both of those guys. I just think it's one of the worst things that you could have happen to a player that's trying everything in their power just to make an impression, and then you get an injury. But from a Packers standpoint, you have two players that, if we're being frank, we're probably not going to make the roster, right? And now you release them injured, then they are waived. Nobody's going to claim them because they are injured. And then you have to figure out an injury settlement with them. And that injury settlement does count against the salary cap. So when you would, if they were healthy and you were releasing them at roster cutdowns, there's nothing that affects the cap. But because you have to waive them injured and work out that injury settlement, you do actually end up having players like Jaylen White and Isaiah Dunn count against the salary cap this year, which it's not going to be a ton of money, but it just is, all those little things add up through the course of the season. So when we say you need this kind of slush fund of extra money left over, it's for things like this. There was an injury where the Commanders recently picked up offensive tackle Lucas Niang, probably was never going to make the roster. He tears his ACL. That's a player that you have to pay out for the entire season, over $1 million. That counts against your salary cap for a player that tore his ACL and is now out for the year that wasn't going to make your team anyway. Those are tough situations where, again, those things can very easily add up throughout the course of time. So just a quick aside there. In their stead, as Jaylen White and Isaiah Dunn are no longer on the roster, Green Bay brought in two new players, running back Tyrion Davis-Price, who was at practice wearing number 44, and then wide receiver Kwon Baker, per Aaron Wilson, was claimed off waivers as well for Green Bay. So new wide receiver Kwon Baker, I believe it was the Raiders who they claimed him off of, and then running back Tyrion Davis-Price. I'll be totally transparent with trying to finish up grades, which will be up later today, by the way, as you're listening to this on audio or on video. They will be up later today, and then you can check out the full grades on PackerReport.com later today as well. As I was finishing up those, going to practice, doing the practice report and everything else, did not have the opportunity to do a ton of tape study or anything on Kwon Baker or Tyrion Davis Price. If I have some time when I do the grades episode, I'll try to do a little aside on some notes on both of those two new players. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. An absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game.
All right, so again, the big news is the Jordan Love injury. That was what Goody opened with at his press conference for Tuesday. But he did have a couple other news and notes as well. He did say that the expectation is that Xavier McKinney will be ready for the start of the regular season. So that was a good update from Brian Gutekunst as well. And then a really interesting slash fun slash good news update on the injury front as well, is he was pretty glowing about Christian Watson and the progress that he's making. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this, right? But basically said, number one, that there's this immediate inclination when you see him of just like, let's get him out there right now. But they want to make sure that they're going through the process correctly. And I think he said specifically not skipping any steps along the way, but that's how, you know, impressed they are. Said he's well ahead of schedule. And here's the two big notes here. Did say that the expectation is that he will start the season on the physically unable to perform list, which will knock him out for the first 4 weeks of the season, which was always the expectation all along. So there is no bad news in that whatsoever. That is very clearly what was expected this entire time. But here's the really big thing. Said that once he's done with those 4 weeks, that Christian's going to be chomping at the bit to play, and that they might need, you know, need an army to basically hold him back from playing right after that. It seems like there is some real potential expectation that Christian Watson could be back as soon as, you know, week five. I think that week five is the bye, if I remember correctly, right? So just double checking that before I say, but I'm almost positive. Yeah, week five is the bye. So you have the four initial games, Detroit, Washington, Cleveland, Dallas, bye week. I think there's a real chance October 12th, 2 months from, you know, basically now, against Cincinnati at home, that Christian Watson could potentially make his debut at that point. I'm sure he'd be on a snap count and things like that, but man, imagine getting him back as soon as week five. What a huge win that would be for Green Bay's offense. I never still, even with Goody saying it as glowingly as he did, I never want to put like that timeline of expectations. There can always be setbacks, and these things are very difficult to come back from, but it's just unbelievable news that Christian Watson is where he's at already in his rehab. Credit to him and the strength and conditioning team to get him to that point already, and the doctors on staff, everyone. That just unbelievable news if he can be back anywhere near that week five date against the Cincinnati Bengals later on in October, again, about 2 months from now. So great news there from Goody, both on Xavier McKinney and Christian Watson. All right, let's get into the practice itself. Your starters on the day, Malik Willis. It's the Malik Willis era, at least for the next week or so. Josh Jacobs at running back, Musgrave and Kraft at tight end, Mecole Hardman and Matthew Golden at wide receiver, Morgan, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, and Zach Tom along the offensive line, Gary Wyatt, Clark, and LVN on the defensive line, McDuffie, Quay, and Cooper at linebacker, Nixon and Valentine at corners, with Bullard and Williams at safety. One of the big, you know, talking points of the day, if you will, was that there were more injuries, and not just the Jordan Love situation, not just Israel Abanaconda being out, but there were a handful of injuries, at least four injuries throughout the course of practice. we don't know any of the extent of any of these. In fact, you know, I know Bill Huber only put two of these in just because, again, we don't really know if there was actual injuries on the last two, but let's just kind of go through them really quick. Savion Williams, I noticed pretty early on in practice, had a massage gun on his right leg. And that's noteworthy because I'm like watching him and being like, is he going to go back in practice? Individual team, anything, special teams. He did not go back into practice. So that is worth monitoring and noting that Savion Williams, again, massaging the right leg with the electronic massager and did not return to practice. And again, that was pretty early on throughout Tuesday's practice. Hopefully nothing major there and he can get back sooner rather than later, but that's one worth noting. Romeo Doubs took a pretty big spill in the end zone. He was down for a while, held his lower back a little bit afterwards, went out into the Don Hutson Center with a trainer afterwards after being down for a while, did get up on his own accord and on his own power, but then walked into the training, Don Hutson Center with a member of the training staff and did not return to practice. The good news here is that Romeo did say that he was going to be okay to reporters afterwards. Hopefully it's much ado about nothing there, but we're definitely going to want to monitor that a little bit as well. Don't know if he'll do joint practices on Thursday, but it sounds like mostly crisis avoided. That looked like one that that does not look good. And just how long he was down on the ground. You definitely had some nervous moments there, but hopefully fingers crossed Doubs is going to be okay. Then at the very end of practice, I think like the penultimate play right around there, you had a big sea of humanity. I thought it looked like maybe Musgrave and LVN collided, but to be totally transparent, I don't know if they collided or if each of them had separate collisions or what might have ultimately happened. There was actually like three or four players that were kind of slightly slow getting up, but the two that were noteworthy were Luke Musgrave and LVN, and both exited after the play. LVN exited to the defensive side and looked to be a little bit shaken up. And then Luke Musgrave exited to the offensive side, specifically with a trainer. And it looked like he was, kind of favoring his ankle a little bit and was not super happy after the play. And again, we don't know. LVN might be totally fine. Musgrave might be totally fine. We don't know the extent of those injuries, but just a couple to keep an eye on as we get ready for joint practices on Thursday with Indianapolis to see if some of those players are going to be there or not. So again, Savion Williams, Romeo Doubs, Luke Musgrave, and LVN. And right now, by the way, the wide receiver room, we talked about the ridiculous depth that room had going into the year and how this could potentially work out. Right now, you have Christian Watson on the PUP, Jaden Reed with the foot injury, still in the walking boot, Dontavian Wicks still with the calf injury and does not seem to be with the rehab group or like not looking close at the moment is what I would say. Savion Williams had the massage gun and did not return to practice. And then Romeo Doubs went out with a lower back injury. I mean, by the end of practice here, it's Matthew Golden, Malik Heath, and Mecole Hardman are all that were left of the wide receiver room. I mean, just remarkable how beat up that room is at the moment. And apparently Doubs is okay. Hopefully Williams isn't anything serious. Watson's trending in the right direction for coming off the PUP list, hopefully pretty close after he's eligible. And then, we're just going to have to keep an eye on Reed and Wicks, but just unbelievable how that room has been decimated so far. Hopefully everyone sans Watson is ready to go for week one, and then Watson's ready to go starting in week six for the fifth game. But man, absolutely beat up at the moment. Player of the day. This one's a pretty easy one. Edgerrin Cooper was just flying around. He was everywhere. On one of the very first plays of practice, it's a play action play. Malik Willis goes back to pass. Cooper kind of gets sucked in a little bit, recognizes it's play action. Willis is trying to get something over him. This happens to quarterbacks where Cooper is just so athletic. I'd have to go back and look at his vertical jump to see if it was freaky. My assumption is it was probably freaky because he tested freaky in just about every aspect. That dude's got ups, and Willis is trying to get it up and over him as Cooper bites inside. Cooper skies up, tips the ball up, tips it to himself, is able to get the interception and then return it for a touchdown. A big time play early on from Edgerrin Cooper. Then he had a blown up screen pass, two potential sacks. Even if you don't count them as sacks, they would have been big time pressures that would have definitely had an effect on the quarterback. A couple run stops, involved in a couple big run plays or run stops at the line of scrimmage as well. He was just all over the place. Run defense, screens, pick sixes, sacks, just everything. Just this was one of those classic, and I'm calling it already a classic Adrian Cooper day, where he's just everywhere at all times, all at once. That's Adrian Cooper in a nutshell. That was the type of day that he had. Very clearly the player of the day for me. The play of the day, get used to this one, Taylor Elgersma to Isaiah Neyor. This is the connection that everyone's been waiting for. That was a really nice play from both of those guys, though. Taylor Elgersma led Isaiah Neyor to the, you know, kind of back corner of the end zone. May have had a hair too much on it. For anyone else not named Isaiah Neyor, Isaiah Neyor, by the way, he's big, he's tall, and he used every ounce of his frame to dive and make a really difficult diving reception, held onto the ball, survived the ground. That was a big time touchdown. It looked like maybe like a corner out in the back of the end zone. You know, Elgersma got it in there. Like I said, maybe a hair too far, but Neyor bailed him out, went and got it. Still a good throw from Elgersma to get it there, and then Neyor to go and get that ball. That to me was the play of the day and probably the best reception of training camp so far. So kudos to Isaiah Neyor for coming up with that one and a nice connection between number 19 and number 80. Like I tweeted out, get used to that epic Taylor Elgersma to Isaiah Neyor connection moving forward. Your players that also were noteworthy on the day. All right, I talked about this a little bit on live. There are times where, you know, let's put it this way. Myself, and I'm including myself very much in this, even though I've gone to scout school and things like that. Media members are not NFL scouts. You know, we see certain things and we react to it, what happens on the field. There are players that we see plays from, but, you know, a lot of times it's really difficult to glean exactly how they got to that point. We're just kind of reporting on what we see on the sidelines. Again, even, you know, I'll just put it this way. Even for me, who watches all the tape, every play, everything like that, it's so much different than seeing it on the sidelines and in real time. Me grading the tape and everything like that is so much different than what you're trying to just capture of things that are actually happening on a play-to-play basis at practice. Two totally different things, okay? So with that disclaimer being said, I am not sure that in my, what is it, like 7 years now, which seems crazy, somewhere in that range of actually being credentialed and on the sidelines and covering the team, I'm not sure that there's been a player that has quite generated the buzz that Marshawn Lloyd has in practices just with what he's able to do. I mean, it was noteworthy today of how many media members just that I got to talk to throughout the course of the day were buzzing about Marshawn Lloyd and what he can do. And some of it you saw tweeted out. Wes Hotkovitz said it's one of the more anticipated preseasons since, yeah, I think he said Vince Young, of just watching what Marshawn Lloyd can do coming up. Spoff tweeted something like he's just different. The way that he moves with the ball is so special and so unique. He is quick, but he is not lacking in physicality. He runs behind his pads. He finds tiny creases. He finds running lanes that just don't exist. He had two cutback plays today that were really, really impressive. One play that probably should have gone for a loss that he turned into about a 15 to 20 yard gain. He's just a really special player with the ball in his hands. However, number one, must stay healthy. Been a bit of an issue so far. Number two, we need to see it in games, in actual regular season games. Even if he goes out this preseason and has, you know, this week as 10 carries for 200 yards and three touchdowns or something, that'd be awesome, but it's still going to have to be something that he actually does in regular season games. But what he does with the ball in his hands is explosive, it's dynamic, it's different, and I'll add one thing on top of it. It will be, if everything goes according to plan, a beautiful change of pace to what Josh Jacobs brings. I wouldn't necessarily call it like a thunder and lightning. It's in that realm, but Josh Jacobs being more of the bruiser, the physical guy, but Jacobs can do some of the cutback stuff and the juke stuff as well. And then with Lloyd, yes, he's going to, I think, bring a different pacing and some explosive ability, but he's not afraid of the physicality either. He can run inside. So it's not your traditional, you know, big back, small back, in the sense that it's just one's a power guy, one's a speed guy or something like that. Both of them have the ability to do a bit of everything, but their styles, stylistically, they are so different. And just as you're getting used to one, if you can bring in the other, in this case, Lloyd, and have him be more of a, or not even more, but just a different type of playmaker, it has the ability to be a unbelievably dynamic 1-2 punch. And I really don't want to put the cart before the horse here, get expectations too far or anything like that. Needs to stay healthy. He's had troubles with fumbling and pass protection in his college career. We don't know how that's going to look on the field. So I don't want to jump to this conclusion where you're just adding this, you know, A plus dynamic piece to your backfield. But my goodness, does it look like you're adding an A plus dynamic piece to your backfield when he's out there? He is so much different and on just a unique and different level than Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson. And I love both of those guys. And as I said before, there are times, there are days, there are moments when Lloyd is out there where he looks like the best running back in camp. And you're talking about Josh Jacobs being in freaking camp with the dude. So take that for whatever it's worth, which is not anything until we see proof of concept in regular season. But my goodness, if he has not caught everybody's attention when he is out there on the practice field. And I am so excited to see if he can carry that over. And if he never can, if there's injuries or it just doesn't happen, it will be one of the real lost sort of what ifs or what could have potentially have been, because that's how impressive it is in practice. But practice doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. Just ask Allen Iverson. All right. Other players of note, Luke Musgrave, two big deep corner plays. Both of them, I think, ultimately resulted in touchdowns, both from Malik Willis. Good to see him getting more and more involved. I thought that was probably the most productive we have seen Luke Musgrave, and great to see him getting a couple of big touchdown plays. That's the type of weapon that you want him to be. That's another one where it just oozes all this potential, but you just want to sink your teeth into it in the actual regular season. Hopefully Musgrave can start carrying that over into regular season games this upcoming season. We'll be right back. Thought Malik Willis really did a nice job of stepping up and taking that number one mantle. And it's been a tougher camp for Malik. I think everyone that's been there would tell you that. I think Malik would probably tell you that. I do think circumstances are worth noting. You know, last year when he was with the ones, first of all, they designed an offense specifically for him. But number two, he got to play with the ones. And when you're now, you know, trying to run the actual Matt LaFleur offense, and you know, I think there's a few less rubber bumpers and training wheels on the offense, and you're just going out and trying to execute, that's a change. But also the other change is, instead of being around an entire group of starters, you're now with an entire group of twos and threes. And that's a different dynamic with that as well. I thought stepping into the number one offense and just still running Matt LaFleur stuff, it wasn't like they just did spinner stuff and read options or anything like that. I thought him stepping into the offense, taking on that number one mantle. Yes, Edrin Cooper made an unbelievable pick six play early on. That is a tip your cap to Edrin Cooper rather than, I think, anything that you're going to hold too aggressively against Malik Willis. But just being able to lead the offense on the day and have a, I thought, a very successful day overall offensively. Kudos to Malik Willis for doing that. And hopefully he can steady the ship right now while Jordan is out, which I think he very much will. And then, you know, hopefully Jordan back in a week and taking the mantle back and be good to go from there on out. But good day today for Malik Willis overall. Will Shepard. Will Shepard's one of those names that, you know, I don't think is on many player or many fans' radars right now. He's just making a lot of catches. And with the twos, the threes, anytime he's in there, it's like, oh, there's Will Shepard again. He had multiple receptions throughout the course of the day. I think he did get a little bit of time as a punt returner as well. Not that that means a whole heck of a lot at the moment, but not a 53 candidate in any stretch of the imagination, unless, you know, the entire wide receiver core continues to remain hurt for, you know, a while here, which is not the expectation. But, you know, with injuries, there's opportunity. And I think Will Shepard is one of the players that's making the most of that opportunity and maybe working his way into a potential practice squad possibility. Kingsley Enagbare, I'm going to talk about later today in the tape review. We didn't talk enough about that dude. He was fantastic in the preseason game. Caveat it with the, you know, he's going up against a lot of number twos and number threes on the offensive line for the Jets. And we know number two and number three offensive linemen are not very good, but he took advantage of it. I thought he was fantastic. And then he stacked success and followed it up with a very good practice on Tuesday, which included a sack and a big time tackle for loss on a run play that had Enagbare very fired up. He's playing with a lot of passion and emotion and intensity at the moment. I don't think I've ever seen Enagbare like that, and I want more of it. I talked in the offseason about how if he did not perform, or if, you know, Colin Oliver, Baron Sorrell, Brenton Cox, those guys just looked the part. His salary went up to $3 million. I thought there was some potential trade avenue there as well. And you just compare him to Brenton Cox, and Cox is younger, cheaper, more years of team control. And I'm like, I don't know if Enagbare doesn't have a good camp, like we could start talking about, he might not be on the team. Enagbare looks locked in at this point. He looks really, really good. He's not going anywhere. Add in the fact that Colin Oliver hasn't been able to practice. And I'd be pretty stunned and shocked at this point if Kingsley Enagbare is not on the team. Really nice day for him. And then Mr. Consistency is himself, Brandon McManus. Ho-hum, 6 of 6 for field goals, including 3 of over 50 yards on the day. So very nice day again for Brandon McManus. Some plays of note, Savion Williams, I think, had just about the best end around slash reverse of training camp. Those plays, the defense have been completely shutting down just about every single time. And I know it's still a part of the offense and they're going to continue to work on those, but it's almost like, are you guys going to keep running that? Because the defense is just, you know, eating your lunch with it every single time. But on Tuesday, Savion Williams, big time end around in reverse before he left practice. I don't know if that's the play he got hurt on, but showed off that explosive playmaking ability, was able to get wide. Didn't see who had the block on the play, but some good blocking on the outside, and Savion was able to take advantage of it. I mentioned Malik Willis's day. He had a bullet, and I mean a absolute bullet over the middle of the field too. Who else but Matthew Golden, just out of the outstretched fingertips of Tyron Hopper. That thing was humming at like a billion miles per hour. If it was at like 999, 999, you know, ad infinitum, you know what I mean? You know, repeating, if that would have been the case, ad infinitum, there, I think that's what it is. If that would have been the case, I don't think it would have been completed, but he had just enough RPMs on that ball to get it past the outstretched arms of Tyron Hopper. And Matthew Golden, of course, despite it being a complete rocket ball, still plucks it out of the ball, plucks it out of the air with extreme ease, able to turn upfield. Big time throw from Willis and a beautiful catch from Matthew Golden. But we did have, it's all over, it's done with. Wide receiver one talk can be finished. He did have a drop on the day. Maybe his first drop. I know he had one that kind of clanked off his fingertips that led to an interception earlier on in camp. Some people called that a high throw from Jordan and didn't put it on Golden. I thought Golden maybe could have come down with it. Either way, it would have been a tough one. On this particular practice from Malik Willis, it was a little bit low, one you would still expect Golden to come up with. It was still a little bit awkward and low, so I'm giving a little bit of forgiveness here to Golden, but one I guarantee he would tell you he should have come up with, and it did end up ultimately in a drop. Would have been like a 4-yard completion anyway. Wouldn't have been anything of note, but we did see an actual play where Golden did not catch it clean, which is noteworthy because he's caught everything else pretty much all training camp and preseason that has gone his way. Tyron Hopper with another big play defensively. He had just shot through a run play to Emmanuel Wilson, punched the ball out. The ball goes like 8 yards flying backwards. He didn't even realize that the ball went flying out. He started celebrating. I do believe the defense recovered. I think in the end zone for a touchdown, didn't see who recovered it, but big time forced fumble by Tyron Hopper on Emmanuel Wilson. We saw a variety of different linebacker blitzes from Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Isaiah Simmons on the day. And those things were just flying in and getting a ton of different pressures and sacks. If you thought Jeff Hafley was going to sit back idly and just let Malik Willis be able to go without, you know, trying to confuse and, you know, just disguise a bunch of stuff, he was coming after Malik Willis early and often, and the other backup quarterbacks as well, Sean Clifford, Taylor Algersma. And those blitzes were very successful up the middle throughout the course of the day, with Quay, Cooper, and Simmons all getting sacks throughout the course of practice. Rashawn Gary had a beautiful split of a double team of Anthony Belton, and then the right guard Cooper as well, Tyler Cooper. He just went right through it, you know, hot knife through butter, split both of them. Tyler Cooper had a really rough day in that first preseason game. Belton played well, but I don't know if there was just a miscommunication there, but Gary split him and would have had a sack, if not a sack, at least a big time pressure. But I think he would have got there for the sack on the play. Mentioned earlier that Kamal Haddon was back practicing. He got a rep one-on-one against Romeo Doubs. Willis threw it to him on a slant play. Haddon read it, made a break on it, and broke up the play. Very, very nice play from Kamal Haddon in coverage. And then on the final play of the day, Isaiah Simmons came on one of those double A-gap type blitzes. Simmons definitely would have had the sack, but Willis threw it up anyway. And in the back of the end zone, Evan Williams came up with the interception. So a double whammy on defense. Willis just threw it up on a prayer, was the final play of practice. and threw it up there, and Williams ultimately came down with it. Other miscellaneous news and notes, your starting kickoff group. This is for Justice Mosqueda and Justice Mosqueda only. No, Javon Bullard, Chris Brooks, Edgerrin Cooper, Christian Welch, Isaiah McDuffie, Evan Williams, Bo Melton, Tyron Hopper, Isaiah Simmons, and Carrington Valentine were your 10 on kick coverage. And then, of course, the kicker as well. One-on-ones for receivers, you could tell that they were missing Jordan Love a little bit. A lot of overthrows and misses from the quarterbacks on some players who were open on those one-on-ones throughout that period. Rashid Walker returned from practice or to practice and did teamwork, but it was Jordan Morgan with the initial starters and getting the majority of the work. Now, I wouldn't read into that yet. With Rashid kind of working himself back, it's possible that they just put Morgan in to begin with and gave him the majority of the reps as Rashid works back from that injury, but take it with whatever grain of salt that you want. It was Morgan who got the first reps and the majority of the reps with the ones, even though Rashid Walker was working with the ones in some capacity. And then your number two cornerback group was Kamal Haddon and Bo Melton on the outsides with Kalen King in the slot. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you guys and all the support. Again, go follow our friends at Luigi's Pizza as well. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Pat Scott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I'll be back later today with full grades from that preseason game, some interesting takeaways, and it spoiled a little bit already, but definitely going to be talking a little bit about Kingsley and Igbari in that one. Don't miss that one. I'll see you guys later today, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.